Because you all went to Sunday school, you know that Pentecost, along with Easter and Christmas, is numbered among the greatest feasts of the church year. I'm sure you also know that Pentecost is, in a very real way, the birthday of the church. It was upon these disciples that fell the Spirit of the living God, turning them into human candles, giving them power to serve God as a royal priesthood and to preach the gospel to all nations. Huddled in the protective security of that upper room, suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting, and there appeared to them cloven tongues as of fire, and sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, last Sunday, we had the bishop with us, and the way that bishops dress, the peculiar way that bishops dress, as if what I'm wearing isn't peculiar, but they're even more peculiar, the mitre is meant to represent, of course, the flames of fire resting upon the head of the apostles. And a bishop's ring is usually made out of amethyst. Amethyst in Greek means not drunk. Because if we were to read a little bit further, on the day of Pentecost, all the people were watching the disciples and said, "These men must be drunk." And Peter said to them, "No, they're not drunk. They are filled with the Holy Spirit." Now, I think we need to be a little bit careful here. When we say that Pentecost is the birthday of the church, some of us, I suspect, might wrongly think that Pentecost is the birthday of the institutional church. And this is a feast in celebration of the institutional caretakers of the church, apostles and bishops and popes and priests and so on. Now, that first misunderstanding can lead to a second misunderstanding, namely that holiness is based on what you do in church. The more churchy things you do, the closer you are to the altar, so to speak, the more holy you are. Holiness, in that incorrect way of thinking, has little to do with how you live out your faith in the home or at work or in the neighborhood. And that way of thinking is deeply ingrained in us. I mean, when you hear the word minister, don't we sort of automatically think of a professional clergyman? But that is not the point of Pentecost. For surely more than pastors and priests do ministers. In the last 30 or so years, the church has rediscovered a spirituality of everydayness. An understanding that God has called each and every one of us, all we baptized, lay and ordained, to minister in the place where we find ourselves, in everyday life. Now, if you were to look in the back of the prayer book, not right now, please, there is an outline of the faith called the catechism. And in that catechism, there are two questions and answers which are absolute dynamite. Question: who are the ministers of the church? Answer: the ministers of the church are laypersons, bishops, priests, and deacons. Question: what is the ministry of the laity? Answer: the ministry of laypersons is to represent Christ and his church, to bear witness to him wherever they may be, and according to the gifts given them to carry on Christ's work of reconciliation in the world. That is a perfect summary of the theology of everydayness, a belief, an understanding that God has called every one of us to minister in the place where we find ourselves in everyday life. Let me give you a simple example. I'm absolutely convinced, through personal experience, that parents of young children, above all other people, have the best chance of salvation. There's that well-known passage from Matthew where Jesus tells us what good works, in addition to faith, are required for salvation. Clothing the naked, visiting the sick, visiting those in prison, feeding the hungry, and giving the thirsty drink. For a parent of young children, each work of mercy is to be found in the everydayness of routine living. Not at the altar, not in some foreign mission field, not at a church meeting, but right there in the home. With a 2 a.m. bottle, that is giving drink to the thirsty. Diapering is clothing the naked. Cough medicine to the bedroom, that is visiting the sick. Preparing meals, that is feeding the hungry. Are you still in the bathroom? That's visiting the imprisoned. When the Holy Spirit fell upon the church at Pentecost and upon us at our baptism, it was so that we can represent Christ and his church, bear witness to him wherever we may be, and according to the gifts given to us, carry on Christ's work in the world. Don't get me wrong. I mean, what we do here on Sunday morning is important. It's still number 4 of the Big Ten. Remember my day and keep it holy. Being the church out there is not an excuse for not gathering with the church here week by week. It always sort of annoys me when someone says, well, I'm too busy to come to church because I spend my whole week doing good works. But on the other hand, there are people that say, I come to church to escape from the world. And that's wrong too. It's not either or, but both and. What we do at Mass on Sunday morning is we take the world in. We take the world in with all of its hurts and warts and anger and violence and frustration and disappointment, and we place them on the perfect Lamb of God, Jesus, who offers himself as a sacrifice to the Father for the sins of the whole world. We bring the world in and we offer it up to God on his altar. And not only that, from that same altar, we receive the body and blood of our Savior as spiritual food so that we might in turn be the body of Christ in the world. It's that story of a little girl who was visiting her grandmother, small country town in the south. And they visited a very emotional religious service where people expressed their faith by jumping around and shouting, what we might call a Pentecostal service. And the little girl asked her grandmother if all that jumping and shouting and carrying on meant that the Holy Spirit was really there. The grandmother said, honey, it doesn't matter how high they jump. It's what they do when they come down that will tell you whether or not it's the real thing. God established his church as a people, all of us. The church is you and I. and we're called by God to lead decent, moral lives that are good witnesses to the gospel. St. Francis used to tell his disciples, preach the gospel everywhere you go, use words if necessary. And we're called to do that in the trenches of everyday life. Everyday living, loving, hurting, struggling, and dying. What is it we just heard St. Paul say in the epistle? There are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And to each is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. We were all baptized into one Spirit, into one body. We were all made to drink of the one Spirit. So it all comes down to this. Pentecost is our feast. It is not a feast of the institution. It is not a feast of its caretakers. Pentecost is a public declaration by God that he's poured out his Holy Spirit upon all of us, and he's empowered all of us to be the church in the world. In the upper room, the apostles, the disciples were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They all began to speak in different languages as the Spirit enabled. And we, by the virtue of our baptism, are filled with the Holy Spirit so that we, the church, can speak the hope-filled message of the gospel in our different tongues. That is, in the different circumstances in which we find ourselves and in our different accents. Maybe if you want to keep Pentecost the best way, you should go home, look in the mirror, and say, Happy Birthday, Church. Let us stand, and in the words of the Nicene Creed, affirm the faith that comes down to us from the apostles. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, Maker.